Well, hello, this is Jeff Hajek with the Gotta Go Lean blog podcast. I have a special guest today. His name is Tim McMahon, and he is the lean manufacturing leader at OFS. It's a fiber optics company. They do telecommunications manufacturing. He is also active in the lean community. He is the social networking lead at the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, and he also has a blog like I do. His blog is called A Lean Journey. And he's got some great posts on there, and you can find the URL for that. It's a Blogspot blog, so the URL is a little bit complicated, but I'll post it on the site where you got this podcast, so you'll be able to go and check his work out. With that, I'm going to bounce it over to Tim and let him talk a little bit about himself before we jump into today's topic. So, Tim, how are you doing today?
Great to meet you, Jeff. My background really is chemical engineering related processes. So I'm always thinking of process flow and that kind of thing. So been doing the manufacturing thing probably for about 12 years, real heavy on lean manufacturing techniques within that. So that's kind of where my background is related to this. So always looking to build the culture change, you know, it's always an important part. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today.
So the background on how Tim and I connected, you know, in the lean community is really pretty small. And as you start looking around online, you'll start seeing the same names popping up over and over again. So, like I said, I started following Tim's blog and have kind of looked through his work and posted some comments on his. So over the course of time, we bumped into each other, you know, in passing and on, you know, in the Ethernet, and then linked up on LinkedIn. So we started having this online communication. We were just joking about that earlier that, you know, when we're getting ready for this call, that you have like an expectation about a person. So I'm kind of getting to know Tim on this conversation as well, but I have been in touch with him probably for about 6 months now in bouncing emails back and forth. So with that said, one of the things we've talked about over time is this idea of lean leadership and, you know, how does it relate to getting things done on the shop floor? You know, what is the expectation of your frontline lean leaders? So specifically, the topic today is really about the lean leadership and the supervisory level. Like, what is it that you should be expecting of your lean supervisors, and how can you prepare them to really do well and thrive in a lean company on that front line of where all the change is happening? You know, they're the ones who are really the key leadership insulation between the people who have to make the greatest amount of change and sacrifice with lean and the management who's making a lot of the decisions. So it's a tough job. So with that, Tim, what do you see as the lean supervisor's role in really developing the lean company and getting them really effective at using the lean tools?
Well, it's a great topic, Jeff. I appreciate you mentioning this. I think this is an area that most companies neglect many times in the transition from the traditional company management style to a more lean thinking type of style. And to me, the lean leadership role is really one that needs to be not the telling direction type of role, but the support role. I think, you know, to use the word leader kind of gives it a misnomer sometimes. It really does become a support function to the manufacturing or service type of business, where the goal really is running a smooth operation with good quality product in a safe manner, instead of, you know, being the traditional "I tell you to work on these objectives" kind of approach. So I would say, you know, functions within the lean leadership role really are about creating systems to identify abnormalities so that everybody can react to that. Allowing for the line to stop or the process to stop, and creating this environment for problem solving, creating the team atmosphere in which you go and then solve opportunities that occur from these abnormalities within the system. And really, you know, embracing this idea that you're the educator in the problem solving. You know, how do we approach what we're going to solve and stop maybe giving the solution but providing the method in which the solution will come.
Well, let me dive into that abnormal conditions one. You know, one of your recent posts is a list of all the different articles about Toyota's recent woes. I get the sense from what you're reading is that this is an aberration. This is something of Toyota's a little different, that the Toyota production system is still very valid and relevant, but there's some application that somehow it fell through the cracks, and now they have this massive problem that they're dealing with. But and the frontline leaders, you know, they're the ones who are making these decisions, like you're talking about, the abnormal conditions, and they have to make an on-the-spot decision. So how do you build up that courage in these frontline leaders to make the right decision when there's a lot of pressure that could be telling them, you know, make your production quotas, but make sure everything's good? You know, it's a very tough job because they're the ones who, you know, are right down there. You know, they're the transmission of the company. So how do you build that moral courage in them?
That's a good point. I think, you know, we've had a lot of discussion in the lean community about this Toyota situation and maybe some conjecture about, you know, what happened. And I think we'll find that out in time. But what the important role of the lean leaders on the front lines really is the ability to be aware of the process and situation through maybe what we call standard protocol, standard work, so that they can point out differences, stop, and resolve those differences. And I think the biggest thing that we can allow is for leaders to experiment and make failure acceptable. Because if we don't do that, what we're saying is, well, we don't really want you to catch those opportunities. You know, in problem solving, you will come across situations in which you won't necessarily solve all the problems the first time. Many times solutions create other problems, and it's really this process of continually challenging the system and making the necessary adjustments that's really the effective part of, you know, continuous improvement. So I think in this situation, what we often fail is, you know, we criticize the failure. We only want results. We don't become process-focused. We become end-target condition-orientated. How many widgets are we producing today instead of, you know, what is the means in which we're getting good quality product on time?
Yeah, that's a tough situation. You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, quarterly earnings reports is what really matters to Wall Street, and there's a lot of pressure from up high. I mean, I can see how that trickles down. But one of the things that you mentioned that, you know, I listen to these things, and when you have an answer that's long, I start trying to remember to ask all the follow-up questions. But the one that that really struck me is you talked about the systems, like the leadership systems. And there's been a buzzword that's been developing probably over about the last year or year and a half or so is when I first started seeing it. But this term of leader standard work. See, we think of standard work as something that's on the shop floor, you know, that it's a very specific document associated with standard work. When you think standard work, you know, most people have been around lean for a while, immediately jump to like the standard work, you know, it's on the graph paper or the standard work combination sheet where it has the timelines that show the interaction of work. But on this leader standard work side, what we're looking at is this shift of the process orientation to what a leader does. So have you seen any effective use of that? You know, because you started talking about the system, so I'd like to hear your ideas on how to do that. How to get leaders following some set process for their leadership roles?
Yeah, I think you know, my approach to this is traditional management style is kind of meeting orientated, go through the routines of getting updates of status and that kind of thing. Whereas the lean thinking approach, and I use that because it is a thinking process, is one in which you build a routine, which is the process by which you're checking to ensure that what we said we would do is what we're actually doing. It is the sort of check process, if you do the plan, do, check, act. You're checking to ensure that what we already planned and what we're doing is actually occurring, and if not, you have the ability to then make that adjustment. So what do you need to do in order for, you know, lean management to work really is what we've referred to as leader standard work, but there's a number of elements in that, and it's the day-to-day routine of checking the shop floor, going to the actual place, using visual controls that help you identify conditions that are not as expected, followed up by some problem-solving approach, which might be daily accountability, or management tier type of meetings, in which you're identifying a opportunity and then signing countermeasure type activity to follow up on that. And then the last part really is the discipline. It's the consistency to follow that, because that is the management process or system. And if we deviate from that, we're not going to determine any abnormal conditions in that regard.
Well, then, do you have a sequence of activities that you would have lean supervisors in your organization do?
Yeah, I think and my approach really is we do this based on several tiers. So maybe the senior leadership has an executive type of walkthrough, what we commonly refer to as a fast response type of process. It always covers the safety, quality, and then product and delivery type issues. It's supposed to be things that are urgent, that need correction immediately. But subsequent to that, the levels will be group leader or team leader supervision type roles, in which those will have more department-specific type of response meetings, where we'll hit, again, safety, quality, and then get into generally what we would call a leader standard work sheet, where they'll look at any deviations from the previous shift and assign action items through a daily accountability board that we use to assign ownership and accountability to these corrective actions. And we'll also have this by shift as well. Probably what I could say is one of the best resources for this kind of thing in the daily management is the book written by David Mann on creating a lean culture. It really talks quite a lot about how to structure these type of leadership events on the shop floor.
Yeah, what you're saying, it sounds like you can get some pretty good gains just from the structure you apply to that. So the communication is all standardized, so you know the second shift leader doesn't have to go looking for the information from the first shift leader. That when it process is all standardized and consistently followed, it lets leaders have their time freed up for the more important things, you know, the strategy and the problem solving and the system development, rather than doing the same old thing every day and going through the same problems that without a real effective tool to fix it. So it's just. Yeah, I mean, I can really see how that sort of system is going to be, it's a way to elevate your performance of your leadership team. But to do those things, I anticipate that there's some skill sets that people really need to have to be able to be effective. You know, and I'm thinking even like on a very rudimentary level, like, you know, what type of back office skills do they need to have, you know, using process flow charts in Microsoft Excel and things like that. What skill sets do you see most lacking in new supervisors, you know, new lean supervisors who either just get hired in or are, you know, rising up through the ranks? So what are the specific skills you would recommend that they develop to be more effective at lean leadership?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think, many companies suffer with who is the right skill set for, you know, this frontline leadership. And of course, I think we can jump to the normal conclusions that they need technical knowledge and they have to be able to lead people and that kind of thing. But what I find often is the case, and this probably is true at multiple levels, not just the front line, but the ability to listen and try to understand the situation before being understood is really a good comment related to that. You know, many times, especially in the Western culture here, which, you know, we're familiar with, is we like to specify the solution. And really what we're looking for in lean leaders is to specify the means in which we're going to solve the problem, but not the solution. Define the methodology and the behavior by which we're going to solve these problems, but not necessarily the solutions to be deployed. I think it's very common for us to just copy other people's solutions instead of developing people who create their own solutions. So I think those skills really relate to this need to facilitate the process of improvement and not dictate. So listening, understanding, observation, and then this facilitation process, I think we highlight the leading part of it, leading people, leading events, leading activity. And that's really not what we're looking for at that situation. We want them to point out abnormalities and encourage a certain reaction to that. And that's often what's missing in our lean leader role.
I think even on like a more fundamental level, I would even look at things like, you know, giving them practice at public speaking. You know, a lot of times brand new supervisors have trouble standing up in front of groups, or, you know, a lot of communication skills are lacking too. When you have a person who is not used to writing, you know, emails that go out to a large group of people, you know, as a supervisor, you're suddenly put in a role where, you know, your words might go in front of 500,000 people when you send out a corporate email. So I think there's, you know, a lot of communication skills like that are also ones to build on. And then finally, you know, like the general office program skills. And you mentioned a lot of the lean tools in there, you know, even doing things like run charts. So I think there's a lot of the building blocks that go up into the big picture leadership like you're talking about. And it's probably something for a different discussion. You know, we have, you know, try not to make these podcasts too long. I know people are busy, and we just want to try and, you know, pack a high value of information in a brief time. So I'm going to give the floor to Tim just for a minute and let him, you know, give any closing thoughts. And, you know, this is always where I like to let people have a chance to talk about their blog and, you know, their products. So, you know, he's got a great resource there for you to use. So why don't you just talk a little bit more about your, you know, any final thoughts you have, or, you know, give yourself a plug and try and get some people looking at your blog too.
I think you sum up here. I think you provide a good comment about communication. Most companies suffer communication. That's probably the hardest lean concept to get around. One judgment I use when I go to places and visit is who gives the tour? Is it a manager? Is it some sort of lean leader expert? Or is the people leading the tour really the people at the production area making the product? And to me, that's really a measure of lean conversion or success, is if those people can speak well about the lean thinking methodologies as well as what they do in their own area and how they interact. So I always look for that. We kind of use that technique where I work as well. I think on the blog side, I mean, for me, this has been an interesting transition to try to share knowledge outside of the business that I work in. And I didn't know if I really had as much to offer people, you know, as I thought I did, but it's been a reflection process that's been very important for me, at least in learning. I'm an active learner, as probably most lean professionals are. And what I find is that this process of interacting and engaging in the lean community there has been one that I probably learned the most this year through that technology, that methodology, than reading any single book or attending any single seminar of that kind. So I encourage others to participate in the dialogue, whether it's in a LinkedIn group or on somebody's specific blog, and share those, you know, best practices from the field. This is where we can really grow and encourage what we adopt is this lean thinking process, which is a better way to run an organization or business. And I think if we can do that, then everybody will be better off, and we'll keep manufacturing at the heart of at the heart of the economy, and that's where the real engine for growth is in all industries. So I encourage everybody to come by the Lean Journey and participate in this discussion there.
Why don't you go ahead and give your URL, just in case somebody gets this via email or somebody forwards it on, just so that people can find you.
Sure. You can connect with me through the blog, which is a Lean Journey. It is http://leanjourneytruenorth.blogspot.com. www.timandiwork.com. It's a blogger type of website. You can also connect with me through LinkedIn and also Twitter at Tim A Lean Journey. I'm pretty active on all those sites as well.
Yeah, and like probably a story for a different time, but I'd love to talk to you at some point about, you know, how you use the social networking with the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. It's a very interesting transition the world's going through. So
yeah,
it's
a lot of work initially, but it's a lot of fun. It's a way that we're really trying to engage people outside the traditional club or membership and trying to get more discussion and activity. It's a natural progression, I think, you know, of how people participate in an activity, and then what do you do afterwards? Do you interact with people? Well, this is another vehicle in which you can continue that dialogue after attending a workshop or throwing out a question you have, you know, you're looking for feedback on. Real good opportunities there to share best practices. In this digital age, the communication never surprises me.
Well, anyway, I'd like to finish up by just saying thank you to Tim. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. It's always great to get different perspectives and different ideas and start circulating those around. And I've really had a great conversation with you. Again, this is Jeff Hajek on the Gotta Go Lean blog podcast, and I look forward to talking to you next time, and best wishes on your lean journey.